Well, it was nearly 2,000 years ago that marked an incredible milestone in God's plan of salvation. It was a birthday, not of a person, but a group of people. It was in 31 AD that the Church of God was born on this day, the day of Pentecost. The Church of God, of course, represents the first fruits, the faithful New Covenant people. So to begin this sermon on the day of Pentecost, we are obviously going to turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Not a typo. Proverbs 31. And bear with me, because I'm going to read from 10 to 31, but it has a point, as we'll see. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat or food to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands and plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes out not by night. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet, double garments. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it, delivers girdles and merchant to the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Well, sure, this is the well-known virtuous woman proverb. But what does this proverb have to do with today, the day of Pentecost? The day that the Holy Spirit was given out, and it was the start of the Church of God. Well, as we will see, it has everything to do with this special day of Pentecost. Now, in order to proceed, let's first talk about the Old Testament book of Ruth. Now, in our Bibles, Ruth appears among what is called the historical books, the second of four divisions of which the Old Testament is divided. So Ruth appears right after the book of Judges. However, in the Jewish tradition, Ruth appears among the books known as the Writings. And within the Writings, Ruth is part of a smaller collection known as the Five Scrolls, five books that are traditionally read in the synagogue during one of the biblical holy days. Now, according to Moody's Bible Commentary, we have the following very important information pertaining to this sermon. Quote, as attested by the oldest, complete, and most authoritative manuscripts of the Hebrew Bible, Ruth is the first of these five scrolls and follows the book of Proverbs. It is read on the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. So, are you with me so far? We just read Proverbs 31, the last proverb. And based on that Hebrew order of books, where do we come to? We come to the book of Ruth. We come to the book of Ruth. And they are connected in a very special way. Notice verse 10 once again of Proverbs 31. The question, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? Virtuous, the Hebrew word can mean might or strength. But I'm going to focus on another meaning. That is valor. Valor, V-A-L-O-R, valor. It can mean boldness, determination, courage, especially in difficult times. The Proverbs 31 ideal woman is a woman of valor. A woman of valor. Now, this expression occurs outside of the book of Proverbs only in one other Bible book. Guess what? It's the book of Ruth. It's the book of Ruth. You could put if you have a physical Bible, I guess you could put a marker in Proverbs 31, because we'll be going back and forth a bit. But let's go to the book of Ruth. And notice in chapter 3 and verse 11, let's get this connection right off the bat. Ruth 3 and verse 11 says, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to you all that you require. For all the city of my people do know that you, Ruth, you are a virtuous woman." You are a virtuous woman. So we could say the Hebrew Bible order absolutely makes the connection between the Proverbs 31 woman of valor, as I'll call her, and our character Ruth. And sometimes we hear that the Proverbs 31 woman is it's the ideal woman, and no woman could ever live up to the Proverbs 31 woman. And I say to you, wrong, wrong. Ruth was a Proverbs 31 woman, as I'd like to demonstrate. Now, before we begin certain portions of the book of Ruth, some brief background information. The setting of the book is the time of the judges. It's the time of the judges. Now, the period of the judges was between the initial conquest of Palestine under Joshua and the establishment of the monarchy under Saul. And there was no strong central government at that time, but there was weak, ungodly leaders, and it resulted in people repeatedly turning away from God, and they were chastised over and over again. Another important note is that Ruth is read by the Jews during this holy season of Pentecost, which marked the grain harvest in the land of Palestine. So let's go back to chapter 1 of Ruth. And verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife, and they had two sons." So it certainly confirms that we're talking about the period of the judges. A man named Elimelech and his wife Naomi and two sons go into the land of Moab. Well, the husband, Elimelech, dies. And also the two sons who had married Gentile women in Moab, they died 10 years later. So Naomi is left with two daughters-in-law. Verse 6, "She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." Now, with famine conditions improving, Naomi had a plan. The daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, were to return to their native land, and she would go back to the land of Israel. And she probably figured That might be the best way. Maybe when they go back to Moab, their countrymen, maybe they can take care of her. Maybe they can even remarry. And she gives, that is Naomi, a very passionate speech to the daughters-in-law. And basically, it's a reality check, right? My husband is dead. I'm not going to marry again. And I can't be a help to you any longer. We go to verse 16. We see the reaction of Ruth. In verse 16, Ruth said, "Well, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For whither you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. The Lord do to me, and more so, if aught but death part you and me." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she stopped speaking. Well, we already have here the foundation of the godly character of Ruth, the foundation that would produce basically all of the Proverb 31 character traits. Naomi had said, "Hey, why don't you just go back to Moab, basically go back to your religion, the false gods of the Moabites." And Orpah chose to go back, but Ruth, of course, did not. And we're told that our choices have significant potential. Certainly, I would say this was the greatest choice, the most important choice that Ruth ever made in her life. Ruth was wise and stayed with her mother-in-law. And verse 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth of Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. They returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And we're talking about the season of Pentecost now. That's the setting. Now, barley was the first grain harvested, and it was that handful of barley that was waved before God in a special ceremony before they could begin eating of the harvest. Then 7 weeks were counted, 49 days. The next day, the 50th, was proclaimed to be a holy day and known as the Feast of Weeks, because you count those 7 weeks. 50th day is Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, in the New Testament referred to as Pentecost, which literally means 50th. Let's go on to chapter 2. And in verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So now we have another major character in this book, Boaz. And his description, a mighty man of wealth, indicates he was very prominent in the community. He was a distinguished, honored person. More importantly, certainly to this story, he was a kinsman or a relative of Naomi's deceased husband. So there was that family relationship, and it plays a vital role in the story. Verse 2. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Well, let me now go to the field and glean ears of grain after him whose sight I shall find grace." And she said, "Hey, sounds like a plan. Sounds like a good plan. Do that." So Ruth takes the initiative. Now, we know that God's law expressly allowed the poor the right to glean in the fields. But if we think about it, knowing human nature, do you think the owners were always cooperative, right? I'm sure there were some owners that we're not going to let anything drop. You know, you better pick everything up, right? That's more profit for me. So Ruth knew that she had to find favor. And that's an expression always of someone who is an inferior person, so to speak, you know, of humble status, which she was. She's an immigrant in the land of Israel. And it's interesting that five times in the book, it doesn't just say Ruth, it says Ruth the Moabitess, right? It's a reminder of where she's from. She's a Gentile. She's a stranger in the land. Verse 3. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and by happenstance, she came to be a part of the field belonging to Boaz. And we're reminded of the kindred or the family of Elimelech. So we know God's hand was guiding this choice. So she went into the field owned by Boaz. And this chapter is going to reveal many of those Proverb 31 traits of Ruth. Let's go to verse 7. She said, I beg you, let me glean, gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And she came, and she has continued even from the morning until now. And she stayed a little in the house. And here's where we can go back to the book of Proverbs. What was her work ethic like? Proverbs 31, verse 15, describing the woman of valor. She rises also while it is yet night. She gives food to her household, a portion to her handmaidens. She's a worker bee. Verse 27 of Proverbs 31. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. She's industrious. Remember, she took the initiative. I'm going to go out and work. You know, we need food for the household, for her mother-in-law, not just herself. So back in Ruth 2, verse 8, Boaz said to Ruth, hear you not, my daughter? Go, don't glean in another field. Don't go from here. Hey, stay right here. I want you here. Right? Let your eyes, verse 9, be on the field that they reap. Go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they don't go near you? And when you are thirsty, you go to the vessels, you drink that which the young men have drawn. Now, Boaz seems to take an immediate interest in Ruth. And he clearly had an interest in her. So he encouraged her to, you know, hey, don't go anywhere else. You know, I got good stuff here. You know, stay here. You can even drink from the water jars, which is a privilege not ordinarily permitted for the gleaners. You know, gleaners were, you know, they're picking up the scraps, just about literally, right? Verse 10, then she fell on her face. She bowed herself to the ground and said to him, why have I found grace in your eyes that you should take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? Ruth is just blown away. He's being, not just being nice, he's doing things beyond the norm. And she is just so appreciative. And again, we flip back to Proverbs 31, verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Right? We have a relationship, a positive influence involved with the woman of valor. The woman of valor. And back in verse 13 of Ruth 2, she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for that you have comforted me and for that you have spoken friendly to your handmaid, though I be not like one of your handmaids. I'm not the normal one. I'm showing up for the first time, but you're giving great, great favor to me. And, you know, Proverbs talks about the industrious and appreciation for that. Now, it goes on to say Boaz showed his increasing interest by, hey, why don't you share the noon meal with the reapers, right? Now, after she went to continue working, Boaz ordered his reapers to let her glean actually among the sheaves themselves, not just picking up the grain as it accidentally dropped. And told them, listen, respect her, don't embarrass her. And his interest is quite clear at this point. She's very special to him at this point. And we see in Ruth 2, verse 17 and 18, so she gleaned in the field to even. She beat out that which she had gleaned, and it's about roughly 50 pounds of grain. She took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had reserved after she was sacrificed. So Ruth is obviously sharing what she had with her mother-in-law. What a great character traits that are emerging here. Back in Proverbs 31 and verse 15, it says that she rises while it's yet night. She gives food to her household, a portion to her handmaidens. Right, that's exactly what she was doing. And she girded her loins with strength, as it says in 17, and strengthened her arms. Well, certainly Ruth tells her mother-in-law about the guy Boaz, the mighty man, right? We go back to Ruth, chapter 2, verse 20. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "Hey, let me tell you something. The man, he's a relative. He's near of kin. He's related to us. One of our next kinsmen, or someone that had the right to redeem." The right to redeem. Now, the word kinsman is very significant. We have to understand that to understand the book. The root word literally means to redeem, right? To buy back, or to redeem. Boaz was a kinsman of Ruth, and under Old Testament statutes, could fulfill the duty of preserving the name of her dead husband by marrying Ruth. Critical point to the story. It's quite a drama. Ruth is one of those dramatic books in the Bible. Well, Naomi has a plan and says, "Okay, Ruth, you have to get into a position that Boaz absolutely can't ignore you. So why don't you literally show up where he's sleeping, right? Wherever that was. And at some point, he's going to wake up, and he's going to be quite surprised that you're there. And you're going to tell him. You're going to explain, hey, you realize that there's that family relationship? And, you know, my husband died. And, what do you think, right?" Let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 9, this is the awakening, so to speak. He's like, "Who are you?" And she said, "Well, I'm Ruth, your handmaid. Spread therefore your skirt over your handmaid, for you are a near kinsman." What is his response? He said, "Blessed be you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have showed more kindness in the latter and then at the beginning, inasmuch as you did not follow the young men, whether they were poor or rich." So Boaz, in so many words, is like, I know what you mean. I know what you're thinking, and I'm with it. I'm with it. We have some final traits of Proverbs 31 brought out right here after reading this. Once again, back to Proverbs 31, verse 26. "She opens her mouth with wisdom. Her tongue is the law of kindness." Ruth was very special, very special. Verse 28, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Well, in the story at Ruth, it's the husband to be. It's the husband to be. And he's blessing her, and he is honoring her. Now, there's a problem, though, in the story. Boaz says, "You know what? There's someone that's a closer relative than me, And I got to deal with that. You know, they got to follow the laws. So the drama just increases in the book. Boaz meets with the relative and mentions, yeah, there's this Ruth, but there's also land involved. Ooh, you know, that's more exciting. And the man, he says, hey, I want that. Yeah, I'll redeem that. But Boaz emphasizes that, well, if you want the land, you have to marry Ruth. It's a package deal. So chapter 4 in verse 6, let's go back to Ruth. Chapter 4 and verse 6, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar or corrupt my own inheritance. Redeem you my right to yourself. I cannot do it. So why did he decline? Sure, I mean, maybe he didn't want to marry Ruth, right? But the land, you know, I mean, that's good, right? Why did he decline it? It most likely would endanger his own estate, is the thinking. Most scholars believed that he refused because he would be paying a part of which should be his own children's inheritance. The property would revert to Ruth's son as legal heir, assuming that, you know, they had children together. And even if Ruth didn't marry this man, but married Boaz, the property could still be viewed as Ruth's. So there were too many complications involved. And in a public display, Boaz proclaims he will redeem the land. And then he adds, I will marry Ruth. Let everybody know about that. And you could say it's like it's a Disney ending, right? It's like a Disney ending. Like everything is just working out unbelievable. We could add that, yeah, they did have children. A son was born. Guess what? He'll eventually become the grandfather of King David. So there's a lot of God's providence, God's hand is involved in this book for sure. And let's not forget Naomi, right? We could say she's the happy grandmother, right? In terms of looking at Ruth, by this time, certainly she viewed Ruth as a daughter, not just a daughter-in-law. So I hope you've seen, and we've seen that Ruth is a Proverbs 31 woman of valor. She displayed incredible godly character under adverse conditions. God blessed her in remarkable ways. It's a tremendous story. It's an inspiring account. But the story contains more than we've discovered so far. The story provides us with the spiritual parallels, and there is a reason that this book traditionally read at Pentecost, because Ruth is a symbol of a faithful Christian. Why could we say that? Well, she certainly typified a faithful servant of God. She came from humble origins. Who typically responds to God's call? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1. And verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world, things which are despised, has God chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Well, certainly Ruth was chosen in weakness. but she did not remain in weakness. She had tremendous courage, she had tremendous determination, and literally went to work in the field, supporting not herself, but her mother-in-law. Just like Ruth, we as Christians, we need to be doers. We need to be workers. We go to the book of James, chapter 1. James has a lot to say about doing things, of bearing fruit. James chapter 1, in verse 22. But be you, talking to the church, be you doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his face in a mirror. He beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his doing or in his deed. As a Proverbs 31 woman, Ruth worked. We saw that. She was rewarded greatly for her efforts. And it led to another wonderful trait of her that really comes out. She was incredibly thankful. She was incredibly thankful. That's a trait that we need to exhibit. A trait we need to exhibit. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, by the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. A trait of Ruth, a trait that we need to exercise. Now, Ruth was not just humble, she was diligent and greatly appreciative of all the blessings. But let's ask this very important question. Could Ruth ever have done this by herself? Could she have succeeded by herself? No way. No way. She needed a lot of help. And in one sense, she needed a savior. She needed a savior. And that man in the story of Ruth is Boaz. Boaz. Certainly a type of Jesus Christ. A type of Jesus Christ. Why do we say that? Boaz, a mighty man in the community. He had riches. He had strength, but he also had compassion on the poor and the needy, certainly like Ruth. He had the means and the ability to help someone downtrodden like her. And of course, Jesus Christ has the ultimate riches, the ultimate strength, and the greatest compassion on the weak and the helpless. But Boaz did more than just be kind to Ruth. His greatest act was to redeem her. His greatest act was to redeem her. Now, as a widow, Ruth had no hope to bear children and keep the family name alive, which was critical, certainly back in the times of the Old Testament. Boaz could have declined. He could have said, don't want to do that. Yeah, maybe I'd like the property, but I don't want to marry her, or vice versa, whatever. He could have just not getting involved with it, right? That was his choice. In that case, all hope would be lost for Ruth, but he performed the greatest possible act for her, as Jesus Christ performed the greatest act for us, the Church of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, starting verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but how were you redeemed? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What a tremendous verse for us to contemplate. Certainly for this entire spring holiday season, which kind of concludes today as we keep Pentecost. And certainly Jesus Christ offers an inheritance for us, not of land or property, but of eternal life. Well, again, Boaz redeemed the land, but he also married Ruth. And we come to our final scripture here this morning. What is our destiny? What is our destiny with respect to our Redeemer, Jesus Christ? Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We're now in prophecy, Revelation 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Jesus Christ will marry the righteous first fruits of God. You could say collectively the spiritual Proverbs 31 woman of valor, as typified by Ruth. So brethren, we have the honor of being a first fruit. The foundation of that honor began today, that first Pentecost in 31 AD. The book of Ruth, traditionally read at Pentecost, provides us with wonderful spiritual lessons at this time. We are to emulate the godly character, the works of Ruth, who fulfilled the traits of the Proverbs 31 woman, a type of a faithful Christian. While her blessings were an act of grace, she did her part in implementing the traits of the Proverbs 31. And we need to be people of valor, especially during difficult times. We need to exhibit courage and strength. We need to have a no-quit attitude. So let's determine to make our calling and election sure, and then we will inherit the incredible blessings to be welcomed into God's eternal kingdom and be part of his eternal family.